What's going on, guys? Welcome to the latest episode of River City 93, brought to you by Roughnecks Cars, Icarus FC, and of course, For the Culture. This is your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and is joining me is two of Richmond's greater known fans on social media. Well, Shanir is not on social media. Matt is. It's Matt and Shanir. I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves.
All right. Yeah, you know me, co-host Shanir Duran II. Always here. Well, not always here, actually. I haven't been here for a while, but yeah, I'm back on.
I saved your seat for you, so that way no one can get it.
Yeah, keep it warm. Just put a hot water bottle on it.
Hey, I'm Matt Myers. You might know me better from Twitter under the RVA's red handle. Happy to be able to be here talking about the team.
We are getting ready for preseason. Well, it's kind of weird to say preseason still because the season already kicked off. Last night, Revs 2 beat Fort Lauderdale and 1-0 in a weather delay game. Typical great USL League One soccer there, folks. Yeah. But pretty much the three of us, we're going to give you the complete breakdown on the team, what to expect, what to look out for. Also, some things that are going on with the club, who's left, who's staying. This is your info podcast if you want to think about it that way. So I'm going to ask you guys, where do you guys want to start off with? Do you guys want to start off with the talking points? Do you guys want to dive into the roster? Where do you want to go? I'm going to let y'all pick.
Let's start with the Revs game because we're playing them next week for our first game. So, I mean, just to know what to expect basically based off of how the game went, what to expect from the Revs when we go up there to New England.
Yeah, so pretty much I didn't watch the complete game. Matt watched more of it than what I did. But I will say this, Fujiwara is someone that's going to have me biting my fingernails next weekend. He is very creative and very shafty and, like, pockets of space. So whoever's supposed to be marking him, does he, like, completely mark him, he can get open and create some danger.
Yeah, I mean, I think so they won 1-0 against Fort Lauderdale last night. I watched most of the game. I got to the lightning delay in the 81st minute. I wasn't going to sit through half an hour of USL ESPN Plus commercials after that. So I bounced off, came back at the very end. You caught like the last couple minutes of stoppage time. I feel pretty safe in guessing I didn't miss too much action. There was like 7 minutes of actual game time I didn't see. They look solid. I think one of the key things that it didn't occur to me beforehand, but once they said it on the broadcast, made a ton of sense, is that Revs 2 hadn't really had a chance to practice much as a team at all going into that game, but because some of their guys, and it sounded like including Joe Rice, good friend of the podcast, who is hated man of the podcast for the next week, he and some of those guys have been in first team training, out in Arizona, wherever the hell they were, this whole time. So they really just came together as a team in that last couple of days. It was kind of been a couple of groups practicing together. So I imagine the next week or so, they'll probably have a little bit more chance to gel, but I think this could be a really good opportunity, for our guys, to be able to, capitalize on a group that hasn't had a chance to work together, work out the kinks, quite as much. In terms of a couple of guys to look out for, their forwards, Ryan Sierkowski got the winner, nice left-footed shot from inside the box. He came from the USL Championship. I know he's in Portland for a little bit. He might have bounced around to another team or two. I've seen a lot in college. He was at Michigan State then, always kind of a solid forward. It's not going to wow you with anything, but he ends up getting the results a lot of times. They had Justin Renix last night. You might, unfortunately, we remember him from that game in Richmond last year. He tore up League One when he got loaned down about halfway through the year. When you look back at it, when he came to Revs 2, correlated very closely when Revs 2 actually started winning, started shooting up the table and knocking off us, knocking off Omaha, knocking off Greenville, all the good teams in the league along the way. So you have those guys. You got this guy O'Hearn in defense. He's he's a rookie out of Georgetown. They won the national championship last time there was a national championship in NCAA soccer. They got brought in Jake Rosansky. He's over in Israel the last couple of years. previously was at in college at both Maryland and Virginia. Played 2 years at each. So you know, really, you know, kind of, you know, tidy midfielder, can spray the ball around pretty well. So they have talent. I think the question is just going to be, you know, the supporting pieces around them. How do they all, you know, fit together, and have they learned how to play together yet?
Yeah, that seems to be the thing with refs too. Like, it's a, me and Matt were saying before the show, like, that's a team that can, you know, challenge for a playoff spot. They're not going to make it, but they can, you know, they're going to knock off someone who you're not expecting to. But it's all about, like, also,
I'll say it right
does
now.
Does Bruce Arena pick that roster? Oh, you got, okay. See,
I'll put it out there right now. They're in.
They're into the playoffs?
Yeah. I would say they're probably, because I don't know how North Texas look, because North Texas is always kind of, you know how North Texas can get. Yeah. Brevsu is probably one of the better built two teams out there. They're one of the better built. Unlike Fort Lauderdale, who literally put their roster out, I think, 24 hours before the game.
Wow. Lovely COVID times.
No, I don't think it's COVID. I think they literally just found 20 guys. It was just like, here you go. Here's a contract. Play for the year. Have fun.
Well, I mean, here's my take on it. I mean, I do feel that a lot of the USL League One teams, they have that look at the beginning of the season. Like, you're like, okay, this team's going to be a pushover. And then by the time you get halfway through the season, they are a danger. I mean, New England was that last year. They started off pretty bad. And as you were saying, Matt, like almost halfway through the season, they really started to pick up the pace, started knocking off teams that they had no business beating. And so that's the crazy thing about USL League One. You're going to get those upsets all the time. And it's gonna not just going to be a one-off game upset. It's going to be like a team that's been terrible goes on like a great undefeated streak or something. So I wouldn't count out Fort Lauderdale doing something like that at some point in the season as well, by the way things went last year.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's go on and move it to the other points. Our boy O Alex got called up to World Cup qualifiers. Did any of y'all, either one of y'all, get a chance to look at either one of the games, or I just kind of just saw the results?
I was looking for the game somewhere to watch or watch the highlights. I could not find it. Whenever I typed it in, it showed some game from like back in 1997 or something.
Yeah. I caught a little bit of it on Paramount Plus, home of all the World Cup, qualifying of every random game that you could ever imagine, seemingly right now, that ESPN doesn't have. I think I saw most of what I saw was more their Curaçao game where they didn't do as well. It's turf field. I mean, there's a talent difference between the teams. You know, if you lose, 4-5-0, it's not by accident most of the time. I'm glad, glad he got, goal. Glad he was able to help his, team out. Glad he came back healthy. Not gonna lie, that was my major concern out of all that. And then hopefully, all those people down there are doing well with the volcano that, erupted, can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before recently, but, hopefully, all of them are doing all right.
Yeah, most definitely wish the best for them. He did score a goal against the British versus Allen, which is dope to see. He opened up scoring. But, Matt, you won't lie, that Curaçao game, like, it was like the baby, like, Netherlands squad versus, like, a rec squad. Like, I think the opening 30 seconds, Curaçao scored off of a misplay ball by St. Grenadier. Like, it was bad. And I was like, oh, this is not going to turn out good. And other news, as always, kickers, I'm going to blame Patrick Woods, even though he probably bears no responsibility in this.
We
still don't have a kicker's jersey. Yeah, we still don't have a kicker's jersey, home or away or alternate, so we don't know what we're going to wear. I feel like we're probably going to wear the training tops this year for the first game out, and then they'll roll out the jerseys in May. Probably be the way how the season goes.
Yeah, I have a feeling we might hear something, once, twice, three times this week.
Yeah, but I need them to drop something like now. Like, Ford don't play a game to like, I think, mid-May, and they're already dropping jerseys. Greenville already got this out. So that's about it so far.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure only two teams.
When you're just a shirt company, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, this is also true. That's also true. Matt, you could probably talk about this a little bit. The concussion sub rule will be used this year in MLS, USL, League One, and the championship. Is it being used in NWSL? I know it's being used in NISA, but I don't know if it's being used in NWSL.
I'm not sure on that one. But yeah, basically, you know, the idea is that U.S. soccer is kind of being a good testing ground for FIFA with the concussion subs. So the idea is that we don't want people out there running around with concussions, right? But we also know that guys don't want to hurt the team by having to come off, especially late in games. They're out of subs and be down to 10. So basically, it's penalty free substitute that you can be able to utilize if somebody has a head injury.
Yeah, and I think the way I saw it working, I know MLS is that you get 5 subs, and then if you get, I think, 2 concussion subs, so 7 subs in total. But if you use one of those concussion subs, then the other team gets another sub they can use. So pretty much we're getting to the point where it's like the NBA, you can pretty much rotate the whole team in and out.
Practically. I mean, if you're looking at 7. But I've always been a big advocate for this because – when I always just shake my head whenever you see these games all over the world where, someone gets bashed upside the head and then 2 minutes later they're coming back on with their head bandaged up like they just came out of World War II. And it's like, to me, it's always been a situation of that's not healthy at all for the players. And I feel the players need to be protected over the entertainment value.
Yeah, and I mean it's one of these things where it's a good rule to have. It's one you hope you never actually have to use at all because you don't want anybody to get hurt like that. And the counter argument is always, well, we don't want teams trying to play game it up and skirt the rules. I'd rather err on that side of it. If it really becomes a problem, we can fix that later on. But I'd rather err on the side of the player safety. And if some coach really wants to try to kind of angle shoot it little bit, that speaks more about them, I think.
Yeah, that's true. I think this is a rule pretty much to set up just to protect the players, and we probably need more of that, especially when you get lower and lower in soccer. So that helps out a lot. So lastly, before we start off, going into the roster, everything, Matt, you were able to see the team in a couple of preseason games. Me and Shanair won't, because we thought closed door meant closed door until we brought you on, and we learned closed door meant starting your door. So yeah, talk to us about how preseason went.
Closed door just means nobody's at the door.
So if I happen to be there, what I might have seen, I think the team's going to look good. It looks like there's I think there's going to be a pretty clear, at least at the start of the year, first 11. So the games that they've gone through, they've played themselves a few times. I'm not going to break down that stuff because what's the point of reporting on playing against first team against reserves? But they played Virginia United, who we played in the Open Cup a couple years ago, took care of them. I think it was 5-0, all in the first half, and then kind of took the foot off the accelerator in the second half. Still controlled the play and everything, but clearly we're not just pressing forward like crazy. They went up to Philly, beat Union 2 4-0. They beat North Carolina FC, our new league rivals, 3-0. So that's the actual game work that we've had so far. As we go through the roster, we can kind of break down who's been doing what, how everybody's been looking, what we can expect throughout the year. But the preseason results don't always mean a whole lot, right? Because you don't know if other teams are really rolling out, going 100%. It's time to try things out. Time to be able to build stuff up. But I'd rather be working from a position where, hey, everything's going well, rather than walking into the season of, all right, so we're drawing college teams week after week, and we're dropping a 1-0 squeaker against maybe a really good college team like a UVA or something. But I'd rather be walking it. I'm a big believer that winning breeds winning. So I'd rather keep winning.
Yeah. Yeah, to see us, you know, actual teams a good competition instead of like barely beating to Bolaños. So yeah. So before we head into the roster, I got some stats. Last year, we were fourth in the table. We had 8 wins, 2 draws, 6 losses. On the road, we were better or worse, but we had 3 wins, 2 draws, 3 losses on the road. At home, we had 5 wins, 3 losses at home. Of course, Emmy was team highest goal scorer with 10. The next highest had 2. So that tells you, like, goal scoring is probably a priority this year, of course. Ian Antley had 3 assists last year. Riley Kraft led the team with 4. He's no longer on the squad, of course. Offensively, we had the 5th highest shots on target, but we were 10th in big chances created with only 16. And we were tied for 1st in big chances missed with 21. Defensively, we were 7th in goals conceded with 1.4 goals a game. And we were 7th in clean sheets with 3. 4th in saves per match with 3.3. The team finished 11th in accurate passes, so we finished dead bottom with 243 and average possession of 44%. But on the positive side of that, we were 4th in position 1 in the final third 69 times. So that lets you know how the team pretty much set up. It was very high attacking, not a lot of possession. The total opposite of Bulo Ball. And, of course, Emmy was the Golden Boot winner and USL League One MVP and USL First Team. No other player on Richmond last year got on the first or second team. I still make my case that Avon should have been at least on the second team last year or in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. But that's just me.
I agree with your claim on Avon. He was lights out last season, especially compared to the season before where he was not very good, a lot of times just lost at sea. Another thing is with you looking at the stats with regards to Emmy, 10 goals from your attacking midfielder, basically, which was most of the time the position he played, that kind of put an emphasis on the fact that we need a consistent striker. Because who we had at striker, I mean, he was good at moving off the ball and hold up play and pressing. But at the end of the day, what you need a striker to do is to score goals. A lot of times that's where most of your goals will come from. So if the player that's scoring the most goals is coming from deeper, most of the times there will not be as many goals for the team in general. I mean, so at this point, I really hope that during the off season, we had a situation where they were working on a lot of the situations with the strikers, getting the strikers on point, on par, and ready to go. I know last year we had issues with the season getting delayed and then a couple of our strikers getting injured. And, you know, so there was that situation, but hopefully this season we can get someone. I think we have 1 new striker coming in.
We got a few. We got more attacking options. I would say that this year. I think like this year, if he wanted to, yeah. If he wanted to, he can go like, oh, Alex and Stanley are top, or Zacharon. You know, he can flip about. We're not like if Emmy goes down hurt, we're not, you know, struggling like we were last year. We're not like in a panic. There's other people that can pick up the ball. So also before I know I keep teasing our new additions, but I'm gonna go ahead and just round out the kickers that left this year before we go into the team fully. So fan favorite Wahab Akwe is off to Loudoun United. Kyle Vintner has retired. He's now a coach at Arizona Women. He's an assistant coach there. Gianluca Cuomo, we don't know where he's at. I've tried looking. I haven't seen anything. So if any fans know, let us know. Scott Thompson retired. He's now a youth coach with the Kickers. Mwape, pretty sure he's at Grove Soccer Academy. I haven't seen him, you know, sign up to any team to play. Boateng, I couldn't confirm this or not, so maybe you guys can. Is he back in Ghana? You guys know?
I don't know. All I know is that he randomly started following me on Instagram like 2 weeks ago out of nowhere.
Yeah, he did too. And I was like, well, okay. This is kind of weird. But, yeah. So yeah, I think he's Nakagama, but I'm not sure. Greg Beam is nowhere to be found. He's not even on social media, and I didn't see him with any club. Mr. Riley Kraft has left the club. He's not signed with anyone, but we did see that he was recovered from injury, so we're wishing him all the best and possibly see him sign with a club in the championship, not in League One, because I would really hate it if he comes back to League One in a different club's colors. Amos, I have a soft spot for. I really hope he can get like some gains underneath his legs, because the last 2 years, man, it has been rough on that kid. Yeah. Like injury after injury. He's at South Bend Lions now in USL League Two. David Diozo, he's with New Amsterdam FC and NISA up in New York. Lee Johnson is not with a club. Matt Brumo is not with a club. And Hassan Pinto, who is the sister to Brianna Pinto, who we did an episode with of Can I Kick It, is at Loudoun United with Hob Ockley. So there's a little bit of Richmond link there. So we can now say that we are the parent club to Loudoun United.
Uh-huh.
We can put that out there. We're no longer like the little brother in this relationship now. We're kind of like, all right, yeah, you can take our players. Here you go. Have some fun. Yeah. In the lower league, which is weird.
Hey, that's how you start. Right, that's how you start. It's a building process.
Yeah, it is. All right, y'all. So, you guys ready to get into these new Kickers players?
Let's go.
All right. So, who is up first? Shanir, you're up first with Mr. Wong.
Yes.
So I'll let you go. I'll mute myself.
Pablo Monticelli. Monticelli. Not sure how to pronounce it. Kickers, let me know. He's a defender. He's originally from OCB. He was born in El Paso, Texas. I think he'll be coming in as a left back because that is mostly the position he's played. He can play center back if need be. He could play as a left-footed center back, which is something that would be very valuable. 23 years old, so he's still young. From what I saw of his tapes, because I'm like Matt, I wasn't able to see any of the preseason games. From what I saw of his highlight tapes, he seems to be good at finding ways to play out of the back. His passing range is pretty good between short passes, medium range passes, long diags. He can perform all of them if given the time, and hopefully he will be. But even if he isn't, his composure seemed to be very good from some of the situations where he was under a lot of pressure and still able to find the right pass out. His first touch is really good from what I saw. So hopefully he will be able to provide us with maybe a center back situation, or be left back as a backup for Ian Antley. I would say maybe would be the situation. But one good thing on the defensive side with him is he tends to not fully commit to tackles, which is a good thing, because a lot of times if you see someone goes in for a slide tackle and they completely miss, now that's one player out of the game because you're on the ground and gone. He stays on his feet a lot. If he misses a tackle, he's still in a position where he can recover very quickly. He doesn't slide very much. He maintains relevance within any play going on. He's strong in the air. And he's not scared to get physical, which is something that I like. I always like players that are not scared to go toe-to-toe with other players and, you know, get physical, basically let them know that they're there. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. I'm looking forward to seeing how much he can bolster our defense and maybe see if when we need to – it seems like when we need a more defensive-type fullback, he would be the option. If we need a more attacking fullback, I would much rather either Ian Antley or Devontae.
So let me hop in there, because I got to, again, I definitely haven't seen him a couple times so far. So he seems to go by Monty. Yeah, that seems to be what most of the guys call him. So I feel like that can be our easy way of getting around the pronunciation and call him Monty. I'm always positive he's going to be our starting step back, starting left back, going forward. Dude has wheels. So think about Antley, sprinting down the right side last year. I think Monty might be faster. I'm not 100% certain. I haven't seen him run 100, 100 against each other or anything, but our boy's got wheels right there. So he can get up that and down that left side, him and Bolaños, kind of trading off, working together down the flank, because Bolaños is not a slow poke either. So they're going to be able to burn stuff up out there. I'm going to put it out there. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not back next year, not because we don't want him back, but because he's moving on up.
So wait, you really think he's going to be a starting left back?
I'll bet y'all, whatever you want right now, assuming he's not injured, he's starting on Saturday.
Ooh, okay. Wow. Okay. All right. I like that. Wow. I like that. All right, Matt, you're up next, my man.
All right. So next up, we got, Zaka Moran. He's one of our new Argentine signees. 25-year-old center midfielder. Came to the team from River Plate, in Argentina. He's been there, had a couple of loans with other Argentinian clubs along the way. Never fully broken with the River first team, obviously, because we love the kickers. We're not in the position to be stealing guys off their first team. Those guys are going over to Europe most of the time. Instead of to USL League One. But I think he's going to be good. Other little fun fact with him, he was on the 2013 Argentina U17 World Cup squad, got into a game for them in that competition as well. So he's got a taste of the international world pedigree. Basically, he's going to be our defensive midfielder this year. He's going to be able to cover a lot of space. If you all listen to Elliot's interview with Akira earlier in the week, this is the guy that Akira geared in on as the guy that's going to really surprise people. He's going to be able to help connect the defense into the midfield, into the attack. I'll also not be surprised in any way whatsoever if he ends up leading the team in yellow cards. He's going to get stuck in. He's not going to be afraid to throw his body around in there, but he's a good player. I suspect he's going to be the kind of guy where we love him and the rest of the league hates him. One of those types. So I'm excited for him. Other fun fact, he's wearing number 6, first guy for the Kickers to wear 6 since Rob Ucrop. So they brought that number out of retirement. Rob deemed him worthy of being able to wear the 6 shirt. So I'm excited for what Zaka can be able to bring to the table. I think he's going to be able to integrate well with the team, and I think he's going to be very much a favorite at City Stadium.
Yeah, if he's wearing number 6, homeboy got to be legit. He got to be legit.
Yeah.
if you're rocking 6, you got to be legit. All right, so I'm up next. I have the first generational player in Richmond Kickers history. Mr. Austin Causey. He played for Richmond United. His dad is Jeff Causey, of course. He played for the Revs in 97-03. He is also a Man City and a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I found that out, so I'm going to poke a lot of fun with him because he has poor choice in teams.
That Leeds loss.
Oh, my God. To me, personally... He's going to be a death goalkeeper. I don't think he's probably going to get a start. Now, if we had a U.S. Open Cup game, I imagine he'll probably would have started in that. But he's going to be the third choice keeper. He might get a start here and there if the Kickers lock up a playoff spot with games to go. Darren might just throw him in there. But from talking to Akira, he's a really strong kid in the box. He's good in the air, real good with his feet. But he's just, young. He's 19 years old. So I think he's a signing that the Kickers are looking to keep him for a year or two. see how he develops. You never know. He might be the next Joe Rice. And with that said, I'm going to pass it. Oh, God, I go back again. God. All right. So I have Mr. Jalen Chrysler. He comes from us from Detroit City FC and the Peak Team. I'm not saying their name on this podcast. I'm not saying it. From what I'm watching from his videos, yeah, you know, that team up there. Like Bo Schembechler. No, it wasn't Bo. What was Ohio State's head coach? He used to call them that team up north. That's what I'm going to start calling them from now on. That Pink Team. Yeah, there we go. There we go. I couldn't remember his name. I should remember because he was the coach that I laughed at the hardest when I found out he choked a Clemson player to end his career. Not saying I laughed at the fact that he choked a player, but the fact that he actually thought it was cool to choke a player is like wow, that's how you ended your career? That's insane. But yeah, so back to Chrysler. He is very good in the air. One-on-one. I would say the one down on him is tracking back. He seems to get lost in space. So if there's multiple like attackers running in his direction, he kind of loses which one to pick up. He'll probably go for more of the inside players since he plays the center back. But with his height, he's really good in the air. So he's going to be great on corners or free kicks. He's a physical yet smart defender. And what I mean by that is, you ever seen that defender that is like, he's just all strength. So he's just throwing his body around and not really paying attention to what he's doing. He's just trying to just outbody people and not thinking about like, I can hold this player up or I can play this ball here or I can make the defender move. I mean, make the attacker move here. He's very smart with that. So I'll give him props for that. And I would say that right now, I haven't seen preseason, but if I had to bet, I think he is probably going to be the starter with Avon opening day just because he has the most experience out of the two new center backs they brought in. That's just my guess.
Yeah, I think you're about right on that. I think he's probably going to start. Looking forward to seeing what new Jalen brings. I got one beef with this guy right now. You know,
what is that?
Jalen, man. You got to fix your social media profiles, dude. You know, you fixed up, you know, the Twitter bio and everything. You got to change your pictures, dude. You're still, rocking the picture with that other team's, gear, not that other team's logo. You know, Jessica Hendricks, she's taken probably a million pictures of you this preseason. We've seen them. You know, get her permission to use one of them for your new profile pics. We don't, we want to give you all the love. You're making it hard for us, my man.
Yeah. Look, he got 6 days. He got to change that, man. He got to change that.
TikTok. Get that change going now.
Right. You can't be out here rocking the evil empire, man. We can't have that out here. Can't have that. Matt, you are up next. Matt got all the Argentina players. I love this. You're up next, man.
Right.
You're the ones who assigned them.
I know, yeah. But I went like in snake order, so I didn't realize it until like I actually looked, and I was like, "Back in all the Argentinians."
Two, right? Next up, Hernan Gonzalez. Chenier was talking earlier about our need for center forward to be able to help out Emmy. This is our guy right here for this. All right. So he's 29 years old. He's kind of been a nomad throughout South America. Looking through it, he's played in Argentina, he's played in Brazil, he's played in Chile, he's played in Ecuador. He's bounced around quite a bit. So he's going to be your really solid center forward. He can play back to the goal, be able to be that target man if necessary. Has the nickname El Tanque, the tank, in case your Spanish is not fully up to speed on that. So 6'1", pretty solidly built. Right there, but he's not just like a old school play the ball up to him, he knocks it down sort of thing. He has ball skills. He likes to try stuff, so he's not afraid to go for the spectacular finish, maybe even sometimes when he doesn't need the spectacular finish, but he's going to put in goals. I think he's got like 3 or 4 in the preseason so far, so he's able to produce. He's going to be somebody who likes to be able to really play that offside line, so I wouldn't be surprised if he does rack up some offsides here or there. I'm fine with that. I'd much rather you know, that than playing passively along the way. So, you know, I think, you know, Hernan's going to be, you know, a really good addition to this team. He's going to bring something different than what we've had in the past. Because, you know, even last year, you know, Stanley's got, you know, a good vertical profile, but, you know, he's not a Tanque by any means. He's a little bit more of a, you know, flair big guy, you know, than a post up, you know, kind of guy. So I think, you know, Hernan's going to be able to bring, you know, that good addition. He can drop back, you know, into the midfield and help, you know, be able to release some pressure and, you know, get the transition moving that way. Looking forward to seeing what, you know, he can be able to bring.
Only thing I have to say about Hernan is I need my man to let it go. He just got to bald it. He just got to let it go. He's not there anymore, man.
I'm not going to hate on a guy for you know, trying to hang on.
He's a Shadir. Have you seen the pictures?
Sometimes you just got to be honest with yourself and be like, you know what? Let's just take it all off and let's pull the Zidane. Look.
Yeah, man. Aerodynamic, dog. Because at one point, I think he had it like swooshed up. And then halfway through the game, it was like full back. And I'm like, oh, this ain't good.
Yeah, at least somebody's got, you know, on the teams, you know, got, you know, some at least noticeable flow of some sort. You know, I feel like the team overall, outside of, you know, Moonbees, you know, a little lacking in, you know, the, you know, hair department as a whole. So while maybe it's not ideal, you know, at least it's something different, a little distinctive.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give him that. Shanir, you are next, my man.
Yes, I've got Esteban Calvo. Now, Esteban Calvo, last year he was at FC Tucson. I got a little bone to pick with him, and hopefully he can redeem himself in my eyes. He's from San Jose. He's a right back. He can play defensive midfield if need be. He's originally from Costa Rica. Now, the reason why I say I have a bone to pick with him, because remember that phenomenal volley Mwape took against them, got past the keeper, and there was a goal line save from a defender. Yeah, that was this guy. So Mwape almost had goal of the season, and this guy ruined it. But hey, I'd rather him doing that for us than doing that for someone else. So hopefully he can redeem himself in my eyes and show us something good. He's a very imposing figure, especially when you think about it as a fullback. In a fullback position, normally you think not really that big, small, quick, but he's an imposing figure. But he still has enough pace to hang with quite a few wingers. And he can definitely close down crosses very, very well. He reminds me a little bit of Juan Bissaka in that aspect of the way he can just close down crosses, make sure those crosses don't come in, extend that leg. And he is really good at closing down space, like moving across his space. He's had many situations where he has, for Tucson, where he has come across to help out one of the center backs, like at pace. Like he can close down space very quickly. He also likes to get involved with the attack, from what I saw at Tucson, which is something that I personally, in my personal preference of the aesthetic of the game, I like to see a fullback that will take the risk of overlapping and getting involved with the attack, as long as they know their defensive responsibilities. Most of his clearances, I mean, a lot of times you'll see players when they clear the ball, I mean, it's like they just hoof it long. Like a lot of his clearances, they will have a lot of direction and they'll find another player, a teammate. So a lot of times it looks like every time he clears the ball, he gets lucky, but he's actually looking for players. So, basically, yeah, his distribution is good. And he can be dangerous in the attack, which is why sometimes Tucson used him as a defensive midfielder, a central defensive midfielder, to kind of pry into the attack and get involved. he can be dangerous in the attack as well. So that's another fullback that we have that can really do some damage. So hopefully that comes to play. What he did for Tucson, he can do for us and more under Darren.
I wonder how that conversation went. I wonder if he ever came across Black and be like, yeah, just because you cleared it off the line meant that I scored it. So I want to thank you for that. I mean, we still draw the game, but when I realized that it was him who cleared it, I was like, oh.
I was like, really? This is going to be complicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have been the villain, but thankfully it worked out.
Yeah. You could have very much.
So, I don't think we're going to see him right away. Yeah, this season, I think he's probably going to be a guy who builds into the team a little bit more, behind Antley, and kind of establishes himself as we get deeper into the season. But as we saw last year, when Antley and Devontae both went down, depth's not a bad thing to have, right? So, I think what we had last year, we had Luke playing back there a little bit. We had Boldic playing back there at times. I feel like anybody with the pulse played right back at some point in the second half of the season. So I think getting that depth in there is going to be a positive for this team.
Yeah, I agree. I think the more depth, the better, especially defensively. Because like you said, we were playing anyone at right and left back last year. I think it got to the point where it was just like, can you walk? Or, yeah, you're playing left back tonight. It really
just
got
throw right. A dart at the board. Whoever it hits, you're playing left back.
Yeah, it was weird because I went back and listened to like our end of the year podcast where we covered the Chattanooga game, and I didn't realize it until I went back and listened. Like, Luke Pavone literally played, I think, 7 positions that night. He played left back, right back, right wing, left wing, right mid, and striker, and attacking mid. Like, he was literally playing every position that game. And I'm like, yo, I don't see how. After the game, he was still like, granted we lost, but he was still like just walking around, like, hey guys, like me? Oh, y'all would have had to stretch me out of that field. I would have needed 2 oxygen tanks. It would have been a wrap. Ain't no way.
That's the joys of being 24, 25 years old.
Oh, yeah, man, exactly. So, Matt, you are up next with our probably number 2 goalkeeper.
Yeah, so we picked up Austin Avisa this offseason. He was with another guy we picked up from Orlando City B. So them folding has helped us out quite a bit. It's really been a good pipeline for the team over the years. We picked up Joey Gallardo from there. Scott Thompson took a little break down there. We brought him back from there. Riley Kraft came from OCB. So OCB's been good to us. And especially the last couple of years, they've donated some points to us as well, so I'll miss them on that level, but happy to take their good players, and Avisa certainly was one of those good players. He was their primary goalkeeper last year. He's 6'2", he's 24 years old. Last year was his first year as a pro. He bounced around a lot in college, started at Syracuse, transferred to UConn, and then transferred again to Providence for his last year when he was doing his post-grad year.
Aren't all 3 of those schools rivals?
Yeah, I mean, ACC to whatever UConn was in at that time, I think the American or whatever.
The Big East, and then Providence.
Yeah, then the Big East. So
whatever.
They're all close to each other. All cold places that nobody should actually want to live. But whatever. Good for him. And then he's on his way down to Orlando. He's up here now. Last year, he tied for the USL league lead in saves with Akira. You figure, all right, he was down in Orlando. He didn't play every game for them. They, rotated in, a couple other guys, coming down from the first team and all that too. But, in the games he played, look, there wasn't a lot of good things to say about Orlando last year. He was pretty consistently, one of the only positives, that any review of Orlando B last year would have to say. And he's a guy who, if Akira, gets a little injury, if something happens, I'm fully confident in Avisa's ability to be able to step in and be able to play with the first team right now. I think he's somebody who's comfortable enough with the ball with his feet. I'm not going to pretend like he's at the same level as Akira, who you know, might as well be, you know, kind of like an extra sweeper out there half the time with, you know, how he likes to play, you know, with the ball on the ground. But he's perfectly capable. It's not like, you know, he's, you know, some old, you know, stereotypical 1970s goalie who can only punt it and do nothing else, you know, with his feet. So I think he's going to be, you know, good for us. I wouldn't be surprised if he does, you know, get, you know, a couple games here or there. I have a suspicion he's probably, you know, signed with an eye to the future. You know, Akira is getting up there in years. You know, Visa's, you know, 24. He's still got a couple years till he's even hitting his goalkeeping prime. So wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the idea is to be able to, you know, groom him, you know, to become, you know, the first choice, you know, whether it's next year or, you know, a couple years down the road.
Yeah, I think that was one of my bigger concerns last year. Shinier kind of still jokes me about it, but I think, like, we needed a backup to Akira because he is getting up there in age. You know. Now he's also the goalkeeper coach, so I like Aviza. This is all I got.
Yeah, and we saw the, you know, one half of the season, one half of one game last season when, you know, Akira was out opening day, you know, against Greenville, you know, when, you know, he got hurt. He kind of got through the rest of the first half, and we were all seeing the season flash before our eyes. And yeah, thankfully he got back and got back to his ways. But good to have depth, right?
Yeah,
you can never go wrong with too much depth, especially after what we went through last year. I think, like, Union Omaha, we won the game, but like half the team got hurt. So yeah, it's good to have depth. So I am up next. I have Mr. Cameron Vickers. Real quick before I go to his breakdown, do you guys want to guess how many teams he's played for before he came to Richmond?
Well, he's played for a ton of USL teams. Like, you know, I know he was with Dayton. I think he was with one of those West Coast, you know, teams. I don't know what variation of, you know, Orange County, LA Blues. He might have been with one of those Phoenix teams out there. Played for a lot of them. A lot.
A lot. How many do you say he's in there?
Yeah, maybe like 8.
He has played for 12. He spent the longest time in the Harrisburg City Islanders, if you remember them. But this is the thing about Cam. He can play on either wing. He loves to play in space. He loves to play players in behind. So he is a distributor. Don't expect him to score. He probably is going to have more like assist to the assist kind of plays. He's more of a distributor connecting piece. He's a flair player, so he'll try stuff. He may or may not call, but he's going to try it. Doesn't matter. The only negative really is that he's 32 years old already. So is the question of whether or not, is he here just to solely be like a backup and kind of, you know, train and help guys progress like Neil or like Bolognese and players like that? Or is he more solely more or less just a player? Like, is he going to be a day out starter? That's more of my concern. And the other thing about it is I can see him starting on the bench and being like a late substitute for us, but I'm not sure. Yeah, hold on. Let me take a break and read what you wrote. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool. You can bring him up there. I just saw your note, so that's why. But yeah.
I think with, you know, Vickers, like, he's going to be, you know, a squad player, I think, most likely. You know, guy that can fill in and, you know, the midfield wherever needed, you know, spot start here and there. But I think he's probably going to be more of a energy guy off the bench. I mean, he's still quick. He can still move. You know, so it's not a, you know, I mean, A, I don't like the, you know, idea, the general concept of 32 is old. I mean, I get it, you know, but it's personally offensive to me.
You know, that old in terms of like soccer play, like 32, you hear most guys are already like, I'm going to retire.
I got you. I'm just you know, having a moment.
I do love his bleach blonde hair, though. That is pretty dope.
Yeah, I can't tell if it's like bleached. Sometimes even looks a little like silver or something. So I don't know, you know, what's going on there. But he's another one I can appreciate. He's got a little bit of actual taste with his flow going right now. It's not just regular boring. So
Shinier just texted us and told us that his dog smacked his laptop off the table, so he'll be back shortly. So in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and finish out with my last person. The player that I'm most excited to see is Mr. Neil Vinyals. He is from Barcelona, Spain. So, you know, he grew up around the era of tiki-taka. He played for our regional rivals, as USL one would like to say, in South Georgia Tormenta. He's played in 34 appearances, 29 starts. He had an 88 pass completion last year, 4 goals, 1 assist. And he's also the reason why he's part of the reason why we're not in the final, because he pretty much set up the assist that knocked us out and beat us 1-0 at home. But from watching his highlights, to me, he is a very, how can I put this? I know this might sound like blasphemy. He's not like Messi, but he reminds me of how like Messi plays when Messi's in the midfield. Like, he's not going to do too much defensive work, but he's going to create like a lot of pockets of space for people around him. Like, he's going to draw a defender with him to open up space for someone else. You get what I'm saying?
I think so. I mean, I think that the trouble with the Messi comparison is, you know, he's not a dribbler like that. He's more of a guy who, you know, helps move the ball a lot more. So, I mean, I would, you know, think if you're going to, you know, a Messi type comparison, you go to one of his, you know, one of his compatriots, well, not compatriots, that's the wrong word, one of his former teammates there, you know, Xavi or an Iniesta, you know, type, I think, you know.
Look, more Xavi. I would say he's more like Xavi.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, he's not Xavi. He's not one of the world's greatest all-time players. But if you're thinking, you know,
he's Xavi elite general, one, that's the difference.
Yeah. And I would be happy to take that. You know, so, yeah, I think he can be good. I think the midfield's going to get crowded pretty fast, you know, too, because you got, you know, him, you got Zaka, you got Victor, you got Emmy, probably, you got, you know, plenty of, you know, other, you know, guys with talent now that we brought up, and other returning guys too. So there's going to be competition for places. I don't know if he's going to be a every week starter, but I think he's going to be a guy who's going to be able to, you know, make a considerable impact when his number does get called.
Yeah, that's the one thing I was looking around. It's like, how is Derek going to fit all these pieces in and give time to guys? So it's definitely going to be interesting to see. But yeah, man, I'm really excited to see him. Like, I think he was a player, Neil Vinyals, that outside of – who's the other South Georgia player? They're attacking midfielder. I can't think of his name right now. It's escaping me. Yes. Those are the two players that if I could take anyone and put them onto Richmond in, like, the last 5 or so games – it would have been those two. Like, it would have done so much. But I'm glad we got him from out under South Georgia's nose. He's a player I'm really excited about. So I'm going to stop talking, and I'm going to pass it back over to – who has Chris Cole? Is it you, Matt?
Yeah, I got him.
All right, yeah. So I'll let you talk about
it. All right. So Chris Cole hasn't actually, you know, officially signed – with the team yet. The team announced a few weeks ago that him and a couple other guys we're going to talk about here, you know, are, you know, basically on trial with the team through preseason. So Chris, he's a defender, kind of a left back center back hybrid, you know, sort of guy. I think he's probably more comfortable at center back if I had to, you know, take a guess just based off of, you know, his movements and everything. But he can play left back too. He's, you know, 6'1". You know, he's, you know, went to Seattle Pacific, you know, for college. Played with a, you know, big surprise here. For anyone who follows the team, played with the Sounders U23, you know, at one point, because, you know, Darren was there. So that's part of the, you know, Darren Swatsky continued Washington State pipeline, you know, coming to Richmond. You know, you think we have, makes sense that Richmond has a Washington pipeline, just maybe not that Washington pipeline. You know, so I think if he ends up making the team, I think he's going to be, you know, a depth defender, somebody who can be able to, you know, step in. I'm trying to think if there's any, you know, guys from recent years that he especially reminds me of. So, all right, this is not a great comparison, yeah. You know, but think about, you know, when we'd have Troyer playing left back. Now, imagine if Troyer was actually left-footed playing left back. Yeah, you know, because that was always my big issue with him, is that, you know, he couldn't really get up the line very, you know, well then, because, you know, he was really right-footed. You know, solid defender, you know, good guy. I think he thrived a lot more when he got moved into the middle of the field, later on in his career. You know, Cole's kind of similar body mechanics in that way, except he's actually left-footed, so it looks a little bit more natural out there on that side. So it's not a perfect comparison. I don't think Chris Cole is on a Braden Troyer level quite yet in his career. But that's at least if you're looking for kind of a visual for your mind of what he looks like out there, that's probably the closest I can get to right now.
If he's anything like Troyer, we're probably gonna like him a lot.
Well, yeah, like Troyer's probably already signed, right?
Maybe. Did he sign yet? No, I don't think he did yet, did he?
It hasn't been announced yet if he did.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, look, we'll never know with the Kickers. If they haven't released these jerseys yet, we'll probably never know. And Shaneer, you are last up with Mr. Sam Solomon.
All right, there we go. All right, yeah. there wasn't really much on Sam Solomon. There's not. He scored 2 goals. He's an attacker, so this is another one that that maybe will come in as attacking depth to make sure that we're not scrambling for strikers if players were to get injured left and right. So I'm hoping to see at least some of him this season, because if we can see some of him, then we can see, all right, is he one for the future? Is he one, that's going to remain as a reserve? We don't know. So I want to see at least some of him this season in order to be able to make that decision for myself.
Yeah, that's the thing about players that are undone. You can't watch them in preseason. You have no idea who they are.
He's got a man bun.
He's got a man bun.
Okay. Well, I mean,
that's all I got for you.
Yeah, that's probably all we got for you too. Sorry, listeners. And Matt, you got some news of some other players that might be signing up with the club?
Some might be signing, might be a stretch too far, but I figure if we're talking about you guys who are with the team preseason-wise, might as well finish off the list. So one other guy who I'm assuming he's on trial, I don't really know this, but he's been with the team in practice and everything, and to the point where he's been at least been in the background of some photos, and we know that when the team puts photos out there on social media, they're very picky about what shows up in them. So I figure if you're showing up in them, all right. So defender, his name's Max Lane. Couldn't find a ton about him online, to be totally honest. So I don't know if he's an academy guy who's practicing up with the team. I mean, he looks young, so it's possible that could be the case. But he looks to be kind of a all-purpose defender. He can play anywhere across the line. Might be a little bit on the shorter side, so I don't know if you perfect world want him in the middle, but he might be able to be depth on either the outside back position. So just want to be able to again be thorough, finish out the list if nothing else.
Yeah,
most definitely. And Shaneer, I'm sorry, I had to figure out you have one more person so you can finish out with Nate.
Yeah, we've got Nathan Aune. Originally from Washington State. He's 24 years old, so another young guy. One we took from the overhyped. We took from Union Omaha. He's a center back, a big center back, 6'4". So definitely a towering presence on set pieces and whatnot. So basically, you're looking at a center back who's good on set pieces. He'll carry the ball out of the back if he needs to. He has a decent turn of pace for a guy his size, from what I saw of his highlights. And he's a very, very good tackler. I mean, he knows exactly when to go down, when to stick that leg out, when to stab for the ball. I'm looking at. He has a decent amount of energy, but he still has the composure of a center back. So I like that. I like someone who has that energy, has that passion, but can still keep their head in the crazy moments. So hopefully he can do that for us. Matt, if you saw him play at all in preseason, how do you see him fitting in as a center back on the squad?
Yeah, I think he's going to be, you know, really be a good fit. I think, I don't know if there's a ton of difference between him and, you know, Chrysler. I don't know how to say his name yet. I don't know. Ani looks a lot bigger. I know they're both listed the same size, but he's one of those guys who just looks big. You know, I don't know a better way to, you know, be able to describe it. He uses his, you know, size very well, you know, too. So he's not, you know, just your stereotypical, you know, lumbering giant, you know, in the back. He can, you know, be able to move around. He plays, you know, obviously, you know, Darren's not going to bring anybody who doesn't, you know, play the ball well out of the back and just hoofs it or anything. So he can, you know, be able to contribute well in that regard. But, yeah, he'll put his body on you. So I think he hasn't given me any reason not to feel comfortable with him if he has to step in, you know, to the field and, you know, partner up with Ivan.
Yeah, they're like the Wonder Twins back there, right? Him and Chrysler, like, aren't they both like 6'4"?
Yeah,
or at least 6'4". Listed.
Yeah,
yeah, we're gonna need them for the pickup basketball game at the end of the year.
Yeah,
we're gonna need them. So yeah, that's pretty much the wrap up on the new players coming in. So Kickers fans, hit us up on social medias. Let us know what player you're excited about seeing. You know, we've kind of already told you who our predictions are this year, but hit us up and let us know who you're excited to see this year. So with that being said, with the new guys, there's also returning guys. And unlike years past where I think there was like a good 3-year period, we were flipping this team around like a new car every Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, it was very hard to keep to see the same team year to year. But we have returned, correct me if I'm wrong, I think 12 guys. Let me count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I can't count. That's why my wife, the math teacher, I'm not. It's 13 new guys. I mean, 13 returning guys. So starting off, of course, is Akira Fitzgerald, Ivan Magalhães, Ian Antley, Matt Bulldog, Stanley Alves, Alex Anderson, Luke Pavone, Zev is back, and I'm very happy to see him come back. Yeah. Jonathan Bolaños, Victor Flack, Mumbai, Emiliano, and Devontae DeBus. So it's good to see at least the two guys that got hurt, and then we didn't really get to see a lot from them. Darren brought them back in because he saw something. And Zev is the one who I really thought, like, I said Alex, didn't I?
Olex.
All right, I said so. Olex? I thought it was Alex for the longest. And that's what we brought you on the show for, Matt.
I'ma just call him Anderson.
I'ma call him by his last name.
Mr. Anderson.
Francisco look currently, by the way.
He is.
Yeah, I saw that.
That hair is so, golden.
Yeah. So for all you younger folks, you know, listening, Cisco, popular, you know, R&B rap artist from the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, well known for always having, you know, his head, you know, dyed, painted, you know, kind of a goldish or silver color.
And a very song maybe, about women's underwear. A very popular song.
Maybe for a couple songs that might not play well in 2021.
Yeah. The funny thing is that song was actually, they were just messing around in the studio. They weren't serious about that, and their producer just put it out there, and they were like, okay, fine.
If it works, it works.
It's up there with Bootylicious. That one was Destiny's Child messing around in the studio, and now it's in the dictionary. That's just...
This is also true. God. That whole era of music. First of all, rest in peace to DMX.
Yeah,
but that whole era of music was like wild growing up because there were certain things you knew you couldn't say, but you said it anyway. It was like, yeah, it works. Like, DMX is the reason why I got suspended in middle school because I barked at the teacher after listening to Rough Riders.
Yeah, he'll make you do that.
Yeah, it's wild. That was a wild time.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm gonna ask you guys this. Since we talked about the whole roster, who's returning, who's leaving, who's staying. Who's your guys' starting lineup for Saturday against the Revs 2? Who do you guys think is gonna be starting and whatnot? I'm gonna go ahead and give you mine, because I already got mine prepared. So in goal, I got Akira. I have Ian Antley, Jalen. So I'm actually going a 4-4-2 diamond. I think Sawasi is going diamond this year. But another reason why I think that is because we don't really have an out and out winger. You have more or less a lot of midfielders and some strikers. So I can see him going 4-4-2 diamond. Almost like Man United-esque, but maybe not. So I have Jalen and Yvonne in the center backs. I had Devontae out of left back, but Matt, you kind of changed my opinion on that with I forgot his name right now. Yeah, with Monty.
So you're not taking my bet is what I'm hearing?
No, I'll put Monty out there because I don't know how Devontae came back from injury yet. I don't know. So that'll be interesting to see. I know Ian is cleared. I know Ian did not have surgery, so that's good to hear. So in the midfield with this diamond shape at the base of the diamond, I'm going to go Victor Flack again, who I'm not going to lie. I think he'll be the captain this year. I wouldn't be mad with it if he is captain, but I just want to say either. When he makes it big, yeah. I will say this: if when he makes it big, I'm riding that coattail all the way. I'm claiming him like he is my son. And the two other parts of the diamond, I'm going to go Neil and Zach. Is it Zachariah? Not Zachariah. Why did I have Zachariah in my head?
Zaka.
I don't know why I had Zachariah. I had Zaka. I'm going to go with them. And then Emmy at the 10. I'm going to go Olex. I was messed up again. Olex. As one striker. And then El Tanker or Haran as the other striker. So that's mine starting lineup that we have against going against Refs 2.
Schneer, you want to go?
All right. I think I'm going to go. I'm going to go with the tried and tested Akira in the back in between the sticks. For positional purposes, I would feel comfortable with like a 4-2-3-1. In terms of the players we have, providing with more players in that midfield. In the back, Yvonne is definitely starting. And I would actually put Nathan Ani in there with him at center back. Just that towering presence, that intimidating size that he would give you. And then you have Yvonne, who's definitely... has become a very refined center back. So those two in the middle, based off of what you said with regards to Monty, I'm definitely gonna be putting him in at fullback as well, along with Ian Antley on the other side. And like you said, Elliot, I'm not sure how Devontae is going to be coming back from this injury. We haven't seen him in a long time since like preseason of last year, which is pre-COVID. So I'm going with those two as my fullbacks. In the midfield, I would want two central midfielders, but one is slightly more defensive than the other. So I would go with Falk and Zaka Moran. So those two would partner up in the midfield right in front of the center backs, basically protecting the back line and also providing distribution when we're in possession. I would say Bolanos and Olex on the wings. And I think I would want to see Hernan Gonzalez starting up front with, of course, Emmy playing at the 10.
All right. I guess this is my turn. Yeah, so, yeah, assuming, nothing terrible happens in the next 6 days, I think, Kira seems like a safe bet in goal, right? I can't imagine anything else there. Same back line, that Elliot had, Monty, Yvonne, Jalen, Antley. By the way, I'm going to look really, really bad if Monty doesn't, you know, bring it right away this year. So my man, you know, back me up here. Overall, I think we're going to be exactly right. I think we're going to be in it's a 4-3-3 though. So I think, you know, midfield, you'll have Victor, you'll have Zaka, you'll have Emmy, and then the three up front. Probably Hernan in the middle, Bolaños over on one side, and I'm going to go Boldic on the other.
Matt's going to hate me so much because I forgot him.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's options, though. Like you guys both picked, Oleg. I didn't necessarily pick him. This time, none of us said Pavone. He could easily slide in at a couple of those spots. I left off Vinyals. He's somebody who could probably be able to contribute. So the fact that we can be able to, none of us said Stanley Alves.
He was another one I was thinking about. I would want to see him coming off the bench early on in the season to develop, maybe later on starting. But it's basically when you look at every stage, like defense, midfield, attack, we have so many options in all three, exactly. Which is a breath of fresh air with regards to being a Kickers fan right now.
So also this year, you can also see like three in the back, which is something I thought we were going to see last year, but obviously we didn't have the depth in midfield. But that's obviously what you can see. You got the Twin Towers back there.
Yeah, you got exactly. You said the Twin Towers.
Yeah, see what they can do.
Yeah, if you do that though, you got, them two and, Ivan, and then What if somebody gets hurt? Then are you changing the shape or are you dropping somebody else in?
We'll get to that point.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. Like, you look at someone like Monty. Monty can play center back if in a pinch if he needs to. And if we need to pull a Devontae in so that Monty can cover for a center back, he would do the job. So
yeah,
it's I think the team fits a lot better for a four back though than a three back.
Oh, yeah. It's much better suited. Much better. I think Darren is going. So we're going to go into it now. What's the one pro or con of this year's team that you have? Now I'll let you go first.
The pro, I already mentioned it, the depth in literally every stage of the field, defense, midfield, attack. We have options. And even at goalkeeper, we have a tested USL League One goalkeeper. Who can come in for Akira if need be, that's great. I mean, literally, we can see a different combination of a front three every week with the players we have. The negative I'm thinking is, I wouldn't say is a negative, but more of a tentative negative because I'm not quite sure is. Do we have a tested goal scorer? And I'm not quite sure that we have a tested goal scorer yet. Yes, Emmy was our leading goal scorer. Yes, he was MVP. But I do not feel that it is a good thing to have your MVP, your top goal scorer, be a midfielder. If your top goal scorer is a striker, just in the general nature of the game, he's going to score more goals than a midfielder if he's on. And I'm just not quite sure. I mean, I may be proved wrong literally day one. And if I am, I will be happy to put my hand up and say I was wrong. But from right now, I'm not seeing anyone who's showing that they are a lights out. They are a goal scoring machine. And if we have that with this team that we have, if we can have at least one goal scoring machine, we're winning the league. Hands down, with the depth that we have. And, I mean, with the way Darren has made this team work last season, we have what it takes. But it's the goals. The goals. I need to be convinced more on the goals.
Yeah. Matt, I'll let you go next.
Yeah, so I think my pro is I think the goals are going to come. I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. These guys, they're going to be able to bomb forward. I think they're going to be exciting, to watch. I think. I don't think we're going to get shut out, very often, if at all, this year. So I think that's definitely the pro. I think it's going to be a very exciting brand of soccer to watch. I don't know if con's the right way to put it, but I think what you have to look out for this year is there might have been some extenuating circumstances last year, but team fell off a cliff at the end of the year last year. Okay, maybe a little bit of his injury, maybe a little bit of it, might be just weird times, everything COVID related, but can they overcome that hump this time around? Because they were all but locked down, unless everything fell apart around them, and everything fell apart around them at the end of last year. So that's the only thing in the back of my mind right now is are they able to build upon that? Are they able to grow from that from last year and be able to keep that kind of foot on the accelerator?
Yeah. So my pro with this team, like you've been alluding to, is definitely the depth of this team. It's good to see that we got depth in all three phases of the squad. I think another thing too is I think Darren has done a great job of bringing in veterans, but also young players that can contribute to the team. Because you never want to get a team that's too old where, they only give you one good year. The next year is like, all right, we got to blow this thing up. You don't want to get a team like super, super young, because like we saw last year, a lot of our more skilled players in attacker spot, they weren't used to that big moment. So it's good to see Darren's kind of figured out that balance. My only concern really with this team is I want to see Darren have a backup plan to more of last year. Because last year, we were kind of low possession, really. I want to say low block, but it wasn't like we were dictating a lot of games. We had a lot of games dictated to us. So I want to see Darren be able to dictate games a little bit more, and I want to see us have another option outside of Emmy. Someone else step up to be that goal scorer, almost what you were saying, Shanir. So we're going to go into our last segment. And I'm thinking about these on block. Literally, I have these questions right now. I've actually got one bold prediction and one very, very specific prediction for this year. So who wants to go first? Matt, I'll let you go first.
I can come in. All right. I mean, I've already thrown a couple out there with, I think earlier I said Zach is going to lead the team in yellows. So I don't know if that's specific enough for you.
Oh, that's very specific.
All right. And certainly I threw out there that Monty's a 1 year in Richmond guy because we'll take that separate. 1 year in Richmond guy because he's our next guy who we're actually going to be able to sell and be able to move on.
Okay. Shanir, what you got for me?
All right. Bold prediction: we're winning all our derbies. So the health insurance cup and the Henny Derby, we're winning them all.
You can't forget the game against North Carolina. You got North Carolina as well in there now.
We'll see if that turns into a derby. We'll see. We'll see.
I mean, they're the closest team to us regionally.
If it does, we're winning that too. We're winning that too. But so that's my hot take. That's my bold prediction. Derbies, watch out. We're winning them. All right. Specific prediction. I think probably after a tiny bit of a slow start this season, I can pit Olex to score at probably close to the double digits in goals this season.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So for me, my bold prediction is we are going to drop 4 goals at least twice this year. We're going to have at least 2 games of at least 4 goals. Because last year, I think we only had one.
City Stadium and we're there.
Yeah, it'd be great. Because last year, we only had one game in which we scored more than one goal. So I think this year we're going to get at least 2 games with at least 4 goals scored. And my very, very specific prediction is, man, I think Austin is our number one goalkeeper by the end of the year. Okay. I think he's the number one by the end of the year. I don't know if it's going to be because of injury to Akira or anything. I think Austin's going to play he's going to get games and he's going to play up to a certain level. And it's going to be like, all right, let him go. Yeah. It's almost like Dean Henderson and David De Gea. Like, both of them are good goalkeepers, but you can tell, like, it's Dean Henderson time. And I think it's going to be that same point with Austin. I think they're going to recognize, like, all right, go close almost it out for us, son.
Almost made it through one of these without having to talk about Manchester United.
We almost did, but it was the only comparison I could think about at the time. I can't think of anyone else.
almost made it.
We almost did. I don't
think there's any other high-profile team that has that situation where the standing second goalkeeper is really taking over. I mean, you can say Mendy, but he was bought in to replace Kepa. It's like you can't really. There's not really much.
Really like there.
Zach Steffen is definitely not unseating. What's his name?
Ederson.
Ederson. I mean,
He's not. He's not. Oh, one last name. We totally forgot about that. Kickers Plus. Any thoughts on it? How you guys feel about it? Yes. No. Maybe. So. Possibility.
Too soon to say.
Yeah. What about you, Shanair?
Yeah, I'd say the same. Too soon to say. I want to see what things look like. And it's really hard to gauge it, especially with how weird this season might be, with being the season after COVID. So, it's too soon. We'll see what happens.
Yes, same here. It's good to see the Kickers try something different and try something new. It's good to see them kind of going out of their comfort zone after we've been active for multiple years to do something different. Now we're just hoping for the jerseys to release, not just see them on opening day. So with that being said, Kickers fans,
I feel like this is a sore spot for you, Elliot.
It is. Look, because I'm really like year, I really want these jerseys to drop. Like, I got the money saved up, man.
Yes, and last year we actually were able to talk about the kit before the first game. Like,
yes.
Before the first game was supposed to be scheduled.
I will say this. I mean, you've talked about it as well. But last year's kit was actually the first kit in a very, very, very long time that actually had some real thought put into it. So I'm interested with this he doing in the year two. I just don't want to see like a basic red t-shirt that looked like it came from Walmart and a basic white t-shirt that looked like it came out of like a pack of white tees.
Yeah. Like, as you've probably been able to pick up, I'm not somebody who cares as much about these things as, you know, others, but I don't care if the home jersey is kind of plain. I mean, we're a red team. You look at, you know, most teams around the world, they have their standard look, right? You know, they want to get creative. The second New Jersey, the away one. That's I'm fine with that. I despise more than just plain white, which is seemingly 90% of American soccer teams do for their alternate. So that one, goes.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Are we throwing out season? Actual season predictions where we finish?
Ooh. Yeah. Let's do it. Where you guys think we finish at in this year?
Top three, easy.
Top three, easy? Which about you, Matt?
I have faith in Darren.
I'm going to put us in the top two. I think we'll get that first round bye in the playoffs. Not sure yet if we're get up to one. I mean, obviously, Greenville's still probably going to be quite good. As much as we don't want to hear it, Omaha's probably going to still be pretty decent. I'm not as sold on them. Necessarily, but I think all the pieces are there that we can finish top two. And with the playoffs being six teams now, there is that added incentive to finish second instead of third.
Yeah. So for me, I'll go top four. I think we definitely get a home playoff game this year. If it was six teams last year, we would have had a home playoff game. But also, I think we repeat that as well, get a home playoff game. I believe that's the minimum expectation is a home playoff game. I think that's the thing the Kickers are definitely push for. I don't think finishing fifth or sixth in the playoffs is acceptable. I don't think that's acceptable enough. I think this team is too good, too well covered to be in that spot. If we're in fourth or third and we're fighting for that second or first place, then definitely I'll go for it. But yeah, man, anything else for you guys before we wrap up?
Buy your tickets. You know, it's going to be a fun time, you know, this year. Tickets, you know, they're available, but they're limited since what are we at right now? 30% capacity, but you know, for state rules, something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. I think we're at 30 by June. There's talks of pushing it up to 40 or 50.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, being able to go do stuff outside and you know being allowed to is you know it's fun. You know, what better place to do it than City Stadium?
Definitely.
Exactly. Also,
definitely missed from last year. The couple of games that I did go to, with everything being so restricted and whatnot, it's taken away from the passion, from the love of the game, and I really, really, really hope that this season, you know, things move forward with COVID, things move forward with all of that, so that we can get to the point where we're back to being in the stadium together, enjoying those moments, going insane and crazy in the stadium like we used to. Because I look at some of those old footage of the Red Army at games, and I'm like, I miss that. I miss that insane mayhem that we bring to the Kickers game.
Yeah, most definitely, man. I really miss it as well. Also, if you have it, make sure, if you can, get your COVID shots. I believe they're doing shots at the Richmond Raceway, I believe I last saw, and a couple of other spots around the city. Have either one of y'all gotten your shots yet? I've gotten both of my shots because I'm a teacher. Have you guys gotten your shots yet?
Got round one done.
Not yet.
Yeah. So, you know, definitely so we can get things back on track to being normal. Get your shots. Also, still wear a face mask because even though you get your shots, you can still get sick. So be safe. Don't be sorry.
And let's be real. Face masks make a lot of us look better. So
yeah, it does.
Works out.
Makes a lot of us look better. So yeah, man. Also, I wanted to tell the listeners this. Matt is a prominent part of the show. He is our other co-host now. So it's three of us. It's no longer just the two of us. And Matt is also a writer, so Matt is working on. You want to go on and tell the listeners what you're working on, or you want to wait and just drop it on them, like how they're going to do the jerseys?
I'll put it out there. That way, I'll actually be held accountable for it. otherwise, you know, real life happens and you get distracted. Working on you know a couple of things right now. You know, trying to do put something together. A little bit of made reference to Zaka being the first to wear number 6 since Rob. Austin Causey's wearing 13 as Lee's old number. You know, Heron's wearing 19. That's Mike Burke's old number. All of those are you hadn't been worn since those guys wore them. So you try to get a little something together about that. You know, not all going to be serious stuff. Like you've heard me you know comment on seemingly everybody's hair. I might you know try to do something you know, goofy about that. You know, during you know the course of the season, you know, just kind of you know, breaking down. You know, how who's looking good out on the field, not just you know, playing style, but who's looking good.
Exactly, because
hard hitting.
I can see it now. Hernan, that hair's gonna go part way through the season. Unless it's there for aerodynamics, it gotta go.
Just take it all off.
All right, I think that's the part of the show we need to wrap up because we are getting delirious. So listeners, always you can follow the show on River City 93 on social media at Twitter and on YouTube is now. You can follow Matt at RVA is Red. You can follow me at Younger McLovin. Shanair doesn't tweet, so don't bother following him because he ain't tweeting.
Not really. No. I'll tweet through the River City 93 app occasionally once in a while, but yeah, that's about it.
So as always, listeners, the first game is February 17th against Rev 2 at 7 p.m. on ESPN Plus. Also CBS, I think 6.3. I think that checks out. And as always, guys, thank you guys for listening. We'll holler at you later. Keep us on the good side, guys.